Before you sit down, we're going to read Proverbs. We're going to read two verses, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, and Proverbs 9, verse 10. Proverbs 1, verse 7. That's what the Bible says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. This is the word of the Lord. Go ahead and have a seat. Gotta apologize. We're having some power issues this morning, and so apologies on that. And today I'm launching a new sermon series entitled Wisdom for Life. And we're going to be basing this on the book of Proverbs, for the next 8 weeks. And we're going to be diving in the book of Proverbs. I wonder why I'm saying Revelation. Proverbs. And when you're thinking about the book of Proverbs, such a beautiful book, which gives you, practical ways that you could live, your life. How can you live well in God's world? And, Proverbs gives you that, gives you the wisdom, that you need for you to live well in God's world. Now, when you're reading the book of Proverbs, you got to pay attention to a few things. Number one, Proverbs are more about probabilities than guarantees. And number two, Proverbs are not promises. And you'll find, scriptures or verses in the book of Proverbs that tell you to live this way, and then this is the result you're going to have. So, for example, train up a child in a way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is not a prescription or a promise, but this gives you the reality that when you train up a child when they are young, you're going to receive the grace, or you are more likely to experience the grace which comes with them being trained young and them still staying the course. And we know for some of us, maybe from our experiences, maybe we have done that. Maybe we trained a child in the way they should go, but they chose the opposite, right? Or maybe we were that child where our parents, helped us to grow in the right way, and then we missed the mark. So this is not like a prescription. However, you're more likely going to experience the grace which comes when you actually embrace, these truths. Now, when it comes to applying God's truth in your life, you should never be motivated by the outcome of your obedience, but you should be motivated by the reality that obeying God is actually enough. Like, I am going to do what God says because it is enough. It is good for me to obey God. That my obedience should never be motivated by the outcome, but to know that obeying God in itself is the outcome. Obeying God in itself is actually the end, is good for you. It's going to be good for your life. Now, in the passages that we have read today, Solomon says, the beginning of wisdom actually starts with you fearing God, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, when we are talking about wisdom, when you think about wisdom, don't think knowledge, but think action. Think action, think skill. That there's a call on your life to take action, depending on the knowledge that you know. That knowing is not enough until you begin to act on what you know. So wisdom is when you begin to practice God's truth, when you begin to practice what God has given you, the knowledge that you have, you put it into practice. So wisdom is always tailored towards action. We're going to practice, we're going to apply God's word, we're going to apply God's truth. That's wisdom. And then we need to clarify what we mean when we say the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And that's what I'm actually going to dwell on the fear of God. And when we are talking about the fear of God, this is not an invitation for you to be afraid of God. Like, he's not saying, be afraid of God. No, actually, this is more to do with reverence. This is more to do with honoring God. Like, you are going to honor God. You're going to look at God as your father, as your master, as your Lord. and you treat him as such. So embracing the fear of God is us being more alive, that we're going to be more than willing to actually be connected to God, to be tethered to God, and to let our lives be directed by God. And that is where actually our freedom is. You know, some people might look at that and be like, man, that looks like to be a more restrictive kind of life. But actually, the reality is that you're more free when you're connected to God. In fact, your experience of freedom is shaped by who you are tethered to. If you're tethered to God, then you can actually experience freedom. If you're connected to God, if you let your life be influenced by God, that's when you're actually going to experience true freedom. True freedom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Let's talk about that. And I wanted us to embrace these four realities when it comes to the fear of God. Reality number one, the fear of God is directly linked to love. The fear of God is directly linked to love. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now we know that the invitation is not calling us to be afraid of God, but actually to be connected to God, to know Him as our Father, as our Master, as our Savior. Now, you cannot know someone you are afraid of. You can't. In fact, you won't even have the motivation to know someone you are afraid of. Because you're like, I don't know what else I would discover about them that might make them mad, so I would rather not actually know them. Fear would distance you from someone. So the call here is not for us to be distant from God, to actually get more connected to God, for us to be tethered to Him. And for you to do that well, for you to really fully embrace the fear of God in your life, in the way that God wants you to, is for you to embrace the reality that you are loved by God. You are loved by God. And I think most of us are living our lives being afraid of God rather than living our lives as though we are loved by God. And the invitation is that you would live your life as one who is truly loved by God. Not be afraid of God. And for some of us are living our lives like that, that when we mess up, we'd rather run away from God than run towards God because we are more afraid of God. But a person who realizes how much they're loved by God, they run towards God even when they mess up. They run towards God with their mistakes. They run towards God even when things are not looking good in their life, because they realize that anywhere else I could go, there's no hope apart from going to God. That my hope is only in God. Therefore, I will go to God. And I know when I go to God, I'll be embraced because I'm running to my Father who loves me. And we know that God loves us. God knows you fully, and He loves you fully. He loves you fully. So therefore, you will go to God because you know He's the only one who is able to rescue you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That you're going to get to know God, a God who loves you, a God who is for you. And for you to love God well, for you to actually embrace God in your life as your Father, for you to see God as somebody you honor and you revere, you have to understand that you are loved by Him. You are loved by God. Number two, second reality, the fear of the Lord is directly linked to worship. The fear of the Lord is directly linked to worship. Worship is like grounded in the desire for you to see beauty, to see God's beauty. And for you to actually see beauty well in the world, you have to be connected to the one who creates beauty, and that's God. That we will have the fear of God in our lives, so we're going to know God because He helps us shape our worship. And for you to worship God or to have the fear of the Lord is to allow God take His rightful place in your life. Kind of like the song we were singing, take your place, God. All the other names fade away, but may you take your place in my life. Take your rightful place, God, in your life. That means that you begin to live your life as though God matters. You begin to live your life as though God is valued the most in your life, more than anything else. Because we know that worship is not just the songs we sing. We know that worship are not just the prayers that we pray, but actually the way we live our life. That we live our life as though God matters the most to us more than anything else. And I often say that when we pray, or, you know, we pray prayers, even sing songs that, God, I exhort you, it does not mean that a minute ago God was not exhorted. Like when you say, God, I glorify you, it does not mean that the minute ago God was not glorified. Now, because Humphreys has said, I glorify you, then God is like, oops, a little bit more glorified. No, we pray those prayers and we sing those songs because we want to actually convince our heart to agree with the very reality that God is already exalted, that God is already glorified, that God is already lifted on high. So therefore, we're going to sing those songs and we're going to pray those prayers. And we do this with our very life, that we're going to live our life as though God is glorified, that we're going to live our lives as though God matters the most, more than anything else in our life. And I think for most of us, we have our own stuff that matter the most to us, and we just want to invite God into those things. Hey, my education matters more. God, would you come in? Hey, my marriage matters more. God, would you come in? My job, whatever it is, matters more to me. God, would you come in? But what if we were to let God begin to determine what should matter the most to us? What if we were to start living our lives and allowing God, God, what do you want me to value in my life? What do you want me to uplift in my life? Would you determine that for me, God? Because you matter more to me than anything else. So your life will reflect the fear of God, and that's going to be seen, or the evidence is that is in your worship. How will you worship God? Are you giving him his rightful place in your life? If we were to look in your life today, this moment, are you living your life as though God matters the most to you? How about in the way you're making decisions? Does God matter more to you than anything else? The things you're pursuing currently, does God matter more to you than anything else? Is God having his rightful place? Because when you do that, then you're having the fear of the Lord, which we know is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom. So the call is that we're going to honor God. We're going to honor our Lord. We're going to let him have his rightful place, because the fear of the Lord is going to be directly connected to worship. That we will worship. We would want our God to be glorified in us. We would want Jesus to be exalted in us. We want to put him on full display for the world to see that God is great, that God is glorified, that God is exalted, God is lifted up on high. So we're going to worship God. And it's so hard for you to fear someone like you cannot, you know, hold in high esteem. To come to a place of giving God the rightful place in your life if you do not think that he deserves it. But we know that actually God deserves our hearts. He deserves all of us. He deserves our worship. So therefore, we're going to worship him because he's good. Number three, the fear of the Lord is directly linked to faith. The fear of the Lord is directly linked to faith. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. You can't honor someone who you can't trust. If you're going to have the fear of God in your life, if you're going to see God to be your master, to be your father, then you have to be willing to actually trust him. Having the fear of the Lord is you being willing to trust God. That you walk in your life, that you embrace your Christian walk through faith, that you're going to live your life as one who knows that actually God can be trusted, because he can. You know, our walk as we fear God is to embrace a life of faith. And you cannot fully fear God if you don't believe that God will fulfill his promises. You cannot really fear God if you don't believe that God will live up to his word. You cannot really fear God if you don't believe that God will fulfill what God wants to fulfill in your life, around you, but also in the world. Until you know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what I ask or even imagine. Until you know that God will fulfill what he says he will do. Until you know that God will actually fulfill his promises, you're not going to really truly live a life of faith. Because when you know that God will live up to his promises, then you will live a life of faith. Because you can't honor who you can't trust. So the invitation for you is to fear God. The invitation for you is that you would choose faith over fear. You choose faith over fear. And one thing that we know about faith is that faith is always on the move. Faith never just stands still. It's always moving. Always moving towards something that God is calling you to. Whether you know how things will turn out to be or not, you're still going to keep moving. Because you know that God is able to fulfill his promises. Now, I think for most of us, we know that God is powerful. But do we live like God is powerful? Now, for most of us, we know that God can provide. But do we live like God can provide? For most of us, we know that God can heal. But do we live like God can actually heal? Do we do that? I think some of us say, I trust in God. But actually, you trust your resources. You say, I trust in God. But actually, you're trusting the things that you have. Oh, I know this job is going to come through. But you were already talking with the HR guys. They already have given you promises. Oh, I know God is going to come through, right? But what if we begin to live our lives in such a way that we can come to spaces where we're saying, God, if you don't come through for me, I'm done. That's faith. That you can walk to the edge where God is calling you to jump into, and you say, God, if I'm going to jump now, but if you don't catch me, I'm done. That's faith. But for you to experience God's power in that space, you have to be willing to be in a place like that. You got to be willing to walk towards the edge. You got to be willing to jump. And I think most of us are not willing to do that. What kind of prayers are you praying now? Are they like bored prayers? Are they just looking into your own abilities? Or are you looking into God's ability? You can begin to pray bold prayers. Because God is able. And he's going to fulfill his promises. He's going to fulfill his promises. And your trust in him should not be based on what you could do. But should be based on what God can do. And God will show up. And he does show up in your life. But will you trust him? That we begin to take steps of faith, even though we don't know the outcome yet. Because we're never going to let outcome influence our walk. Only God will influence our walk. We're never going to let the result of our faith influence how we trust God. But actually, because we know that we have a God who could be trusted. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? No one. No one. Because God is with you. You will never be shaken. Not because you're the strongest person in the world. But you're never going to be shaken because you have a God who is strong. You have a God who's never shaken by anything else. And therefore, you're going to trust him. And the good news is that we know that our God can be trusted. Can be trusted. Finally, the fear of the Lord is directly linked to truth. The fear of the Lord is directly linked to truth. The second part of chapter 9, verse 10 says, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. One reality about truth is that truth never changes. Truth remains the same. No matter the circumstances, environment, whatever it is, truth is always going to remain the same. And that's actually the one thing that we know about our God. That our God never changes. That our God remains to be true. And he never changes. And that's good. Because you cannot honor someone who doesn't live up to what they say. You can't. And that's why we're going to have the fear of the Lord. Because we know that our God never changes. Never changes his mind. He remains the same. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. When we say that God is holy, what we mean is that God is separate. When we say that God is holy, what we mean is that God is not like us. Praise God. God is not like you. Praise God. God is not like me. Praise God. You and I change. You know, we say we're going to show up and we don't show up. We say we're going to do it and we don't do it. But God is not like us. He is uncommon. He is set apart. He is holy. God is holy. He is not a man that he should lie. That means that what God says is true than anything else I could say. That means whatever God says, the word that God gives is true than the word I could give. So therefore, the fear of the Lord means that you will see God as one who is true. You see God as one who is true. And that means that you're going to see God for who he is, that, you know, in his character, that God is faithful, that God is glorified, that God is kind, that God is gracious, God is good, that you will embrace all of those truths. To fear God, it means that you're also going to allow God to determine what's true in your life. This is not about like embracing my truth, which is what a lot of us are saying these days, right? Let me tell you my truth. No, 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 no. This is about embracing God's truth and what God determines to be true. And for you to embrace truth, you have to be willing to allow truth to actually change you. You know, for most of us, we know that God is true. For most of us, we know what God says is actually true. But the question is, are you living your life like one who knows that what God says is true? Are you living your life as though God, what he speaks, is actually true? Because if you see God as one who is true, that means your life will be changed by his truth. Because if God is truth, then his truth matters to you. And truth should matter to you. Because God is truth. You cannot see God as true and then live your life as though truth doesn't matter to you. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Except through me. For you and I, for us believers, truth is not something we know. It is someone we know. And we know that for us, truth is Jesus. That Jesus is the truth. Is the truth. For you and I, it's not that all Jesus says true things. Or what Jesus does is true. But actually, for you and I, is we look at Jesus and say, he is the truth. And he's the truth that matters to me. That means that we embrace Christ as the truth that I need. As the truth that I need. I think for most of us, love truth. But we love truth when truth is pointing outward. When it's pointing to other people. Or we love truth when truth will benefit us. But we don't like it when truth starts to put its demands on us. We love truth until truth begins to confront us. We love truth until truth begins to say, hey, this has to change. Because when you allow truth, there will be the light of truth in your life. And there will be things that will be seen that are not of God, that needs to be shed off. Are you going to allow God's truth to change you? Maybe for some of you, God has been pointing out stuff in your life. This sin that you're hiding, the anger you've been holding on, the unforgiveness you've been holding on for a long time now. And Jesus says, I am the truth. Are you going to believe me? Because guess what? When you know the truth shall set you free. You're going to really experience your freedom when you know his truth. God does not only point what's true in our life, but actually he points us to what's true. And therefore that means that God is not only just concerned with showing stuff that are wrong in your life, but he calls you to live a life that's going to experience goodness, a life that's going to experience his grace. And we find that in the word. We find that in his truth. So the beginning of wisdom is actually found in the fear of God. And we know that's actually the foundation of our lives. This past week, I was helping the Minister of Lands pull up an event. And one of the things that we did was we had people build houses so that the president could come and have a look at those houses. Now, we just built them. Like, there wasn't foundations, you know, to the house. If you look at the house, like in there, they were so beautiful, absolutely beautiful, amazing houses. But they looked beautiful because we had a calm day, praise God. Like nothing crazy, you know, happened. The fear of the Lord becomes the foundation of your life. You know, if you do not have the fear of God in your life, you could live your life today and things could look fine until a day of storm comes. Until a day of calamity comes in your life, then everything else falls apart. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you honor your life to have meaning, if you honor your life to experience the graces that God has provided in his world, you gotta be willing to have the fear of the Lord in your life. That means you're gonna embrace a life of love, a life of worship, a life of faith, a life of truth. You know, my 2.5-year-old son, Danny, you know, he would do like, you know, all the other kids would do. Daddy, I want mkaka. Dad, I want to watch TV. Dad, I want whatever it is, right? And, you know, as a parent, you kind of like say no a lot, right? No, 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 no. And thank God for no's. Thank God for your parents who said no to you so many times. And I'm thankful to them because you're still alive. If they never said no, woo. But you know, Danny changed his question. Danny started asking the question, Dad, can I want mkaka? Dad, can I want TV, right? Now, we would laugh, you know, like when he would ask like that. Until I was like, actually, this is a very profound question. Dad, can I want? What if in my Christian walk, I was to come to God, to my father, and say, Daddy, can I want this? Should I be desiring this, God? Should I be desiring to go to that place or to want these things in my life? That I can come to a place where not only do I see God as true or as loving as my father, but I see God as one who can have the power to determine the things I should be desiring. That's the fear of the Lord. That's the fear of the Lord. That I say, God, can I want this? Should I be wanting this? That's the fear of the Lord. Close our eyes for a moment. It could be possible for you that, you know, God has been calling you to walk in the way of wisdom, which is you embracing the fear of God in your life. And maybe you realize, I've not really lived up to that reality. Have I really lived my life as though God matters to me or matters the most to me? Maybe you can take a moment to just pray for yourself, that you can allow His truth to shape you, to change you, to help you. And if you're here and you don't have any connection with God, it could be in this space or it could be joining us online, you have no relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've lost hope. I have good news for you. God is for you. Jesus is for you. And the beginning of wisdom actually starts with our fear for God. The fear of God. The fear of God. That you will let God take His place in your life. So if you want to cross the line of faith and you want to start a new life where you can begin to trust Jesus fully with your life, I want you to just pray this simple prayer. Just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Let's pray that simple prayer. If you want to cross the line of faith and you want to give your life to Jesus fully, you want Him to be the Lord of your life, just pray that simple prayer. Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. If you have prayed that prayer, whether it could be in this room or even online, just raise your hand. I want to just pray for you. If you have prayed that prayer, praise God. If there's anybody else, just raise your hand. I want to just pray for you. Jesus, I thank you for these brothers and sisters. I thank you, Father, because they're saying yes to you because you already said yes to them. They're giving their life to you because you gave your life to them and for them. God, I pray, may they walk as though Jesus matters to them, that their lives will begin to be defined by God's truth, by God's love. Their lives will begin to be defined by what God can do in them, what God can do for them and through them. And Spirit of God, we ask for your help, that you would help them, even in their weaknesses. You would help them to follow God, to follow Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to have prayer counselors around. If you need prayer for anything that's going on in your life, and you need just somebody to walk alongside you, feel free to go to any of these prayer counselors. They'll be around the room, some at the back, some in the front. And may we all stand and worship God one more time.